الحمد لله. الحمد لله وحده. والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، يرحم من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. يستغفر علماء الله سبحانه وتعالى is all merciful, all gracious, all compassionate. He has a unique name, Allah, and thereafter he has many attributes. The well-known 99 names, the well-known 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are related in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first attribute that we find in Ar-Rahman, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن. After the unique name of Allah, the most significant attribute is Ar-Rahman. It is for this reason رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said: أحب الأسماء إلى الله تعالى عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. The most beloved names to Allah سبحانه وتعالى are عبد الله and عبد الرحمن. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى is الرحمن. He is Arhamur Rahimeen. He is Khairur Rahimeen. He is Rahim. And there are so many other attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of mercy.
In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that it is written from the Aisha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي صَدَقَتْ غَضَبِي. My rahmat, my mercy, overpower my anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of mercy. And He has sent His most beloved messenger, the seal of the prophets, the final messenger, the embodiment of all excellencies, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al rahmatul lil alamin. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. I have not sent you but as a mercy for all the world, for all in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Muslims, for non-Muslims, for humans, for jinns, for angels, for animals, for fishes in the water. He is a source of mercy for everybody. So the most merciful sent the one who is a mercy for all the creation with a religion which is mercy. The foundation of our religion is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ. Quran is rahmah, Quran is mercy. Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commentary of the Quran. So if Quran is mercy, the commentary is also mercy. And the Quran and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put together is Sharia, that is Deen, that is Islam. So the whole Islam is mercy. So Allah is Rahman, the most merciful. And He has said, the leader of all the messengers, His most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as rahmatul lil alameen, as a mercy for all the world. And He has given him the deen, the Sharia, which is also rahmat mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman, who has sent rahmatul lil alameen, who has sent rahmatul lil alameen with the Sharia, with the deen, with the religion, which is rahmah, which is Islam, which is peace, in order for the mankind to accept this religion of peace, religion of mercy, and become themselves merciful. If we very carefully study the Sharia, if we very carefully study the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we very carefully study the Quran, because each and every verse of the Quran is seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each and every hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we very carefully study our deen, our Sharia, the teachings of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can very easily come to this conclusion that this deen was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that mercy can prevail on this earth. And not only every Muslim, not only every human, every creature who is on this earth hell live under the shadow of His mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs, he says, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى. The complete mercy is granted to only those people who themselves are merciful. Allah is merciful to all. Allah shows mercy in this world to each and every person. Even the oppressor does not remain humble. The oppressor, the sinner, the filthy, the evil, even he does not stay thirsty. Allah grants everybody sustenance. Allah grants everybody water to quench their thirst. Allah grants everybody cure from their illnesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends upon everybody. So what is so special about those people who are merciful? Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahmanu tabaraka wa ta'ala. The complete and 100% mercy will be shown only to those people from among the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who themselves show mercy and compassion. And after this statement, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now instructs his followers that if you wish to become worthy of the complete mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irhamu man fil ard, then show mercy to all the people who live on this universe. Yarhamkum man fis sama, the one in the heavens will show mercy to you. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama, man la yarham la yurham, the one who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. In order for one to attract the mercy of the most compassionate creator, one himself has to become merciful to others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all merciful. And in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one more merciful than the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. He said, when you slaughter an animal, then do it in the correct manner. Do it as best as you can. What is the correct manner? What is as best as you can? The best manner and best as you can mean that sharpen the knife properly before you start slaughtering the animal. Because if you slaughter an animal with a blunt knife, it will cause pain to that dying animal. When did the rights of animal organizations come into existence in this world? When did people start talking about rights of animals? In East, in West, any part of the world, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, such minute detail. When you slaughter an animal, make sure the soul of the animal is extracted quickly so that it does not have to endure pain for more than it is necessary. This is 1430 years ago. When you slaughter an animal, do not slaughter an animal in front of its kind. Because animals also have some degree of understanding. If you slaughter an animal in front of its kind, this will cause pain to the others. Only ride an animal if it is fit to walk and fit to carry. And make sure you get up from the animal before it gets tired. Do not make the backs of your animal limber, pulpit. When a person sits on the pulpit, he will give a sermon. He will go for 20 minutes, for 15 minutes, for half an hour. If you are traveling and you happen to meet your friend on the way and you are riding a horse or a camel, do not start chatting with your friend while you are sitting on the animal. If you want to continue with your conversation, after saying, hello, how are you, assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, then you must get up the animal. Do not make it a pulpit. These are the rights of animals that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam emphasized. And this is only a glimpse of the many instructions that he has given to his ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rahmatul lil alameen. Regarding the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells his ummah, takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. Adopt those attributes and those qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which befits you as the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does not befit us as the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is majestic. Allah is great. Allah has glory. We are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not live in glory. We should not live with greatness. We should not live with majesty. Because these qualities do not befit us as the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are certain qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which befit the creation, which befit the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love, graciousness, compassion, mercy, generosity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that adorn yourself with those qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which befits the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and which elevates the status of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rahmah, mercy, compassion, graciousness. These are those qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which befit the creation, which befit the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is gracious, Allah is compassionate, Allah is merciful, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs us, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adorn yourself with these qualities. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He is the mercy for all the world. And Allah instructs him to tell the ummah, قُلْ O my messenger, say to them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow in my footsteps. So if I am rahmatul lil alameen, then you should also try to become rahmatul lil alameen. You will not be able to do that. But your target should be to become merciful and compassionate and gracious to all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one who is merciful and who is gracious and who is compassionate will not harm anybody. And one who harms other people will not be gracious. He will not be merciful. He will not be compassionate. Because a compassionate person cannot harm anybody. A compassionate person cannot cause harm to anyone, cannot cause grief to anyone. So we have instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have instructions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to adorn ourselves with this quality.
If we cannot adorn ourselves with these qualities, then we do not deserve the name Muslim. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. In another narration, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. Only he has the right to call himself a Muslim from whose tongue and from whose action, from whose words and from his action, other people remain safe. If people do not remain safe from someone's word or from someone's action, then he has stooped so low that he should be ashamed of himself when he calls himself a Muslim. This is where I would like to leave. A very simple message. Allah is Rahman and He is our Creator. We love Him the most. And from the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our messenger is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. From the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we love Him the most. Mercy here, mercy here. The teachings are full of mercy. And it is the desire of Allah and His Rasul and the teaching that we also become merciful. يَرْحَمُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمُكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Be merciful to those who are on this earth, the one in the heaven will show you mercy. Let us take stock of our journeys. Let us go home today and take out 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes and let us reflect upon our lives. How do we behave with our wives? How do we behave with our children? How do we behave with our parents, with our uncles, with our aunts? How do we behave with the deprived in the community? How do we behave with the poor? What is our behavior when we think about all the people who are suffering throughout the world? How do we behave with the enemy? Do we have any feeling whatsoever in our hearts for somebody who is suffering? Irrespective of whether our neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, whether he is related to us or not, how do we behave with our neighbor? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when mentioning the rights of the neighbor, did not discriminate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. He did not discriminate between a relative and a non-relative. He said, Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Three times he said. To attract the attention of the Sahaba. To show them the importance of this issue. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. Wallahi la yu'min. By Allah. I swear by Allah. He does not deserve to be called a mu'min and a believer. By Allah. That person does not deserve to be called a believer. By Allah. That person does not deserve to be called a believer. Despite all his correct attire, despite his salah, despite his zakah, despite his hajj, despite his fasting in the month of Ramadan, despite his recitation of the Quran, despite his tahajjud, that person does not deserve to be called a mu'min, a believer. The Sahaba said, Man ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who, O the Messenger of Allah, who is this person you are talking about? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'ikahu. That person from his whose mischief, the neighbor is not safe. He is performing salat, he is giving zakat. He is performing salat in the first row. He has grown, mashallah, beard, his dressing is in sunnah, everything is fine. But a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not safe from his mischief. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person does not deserve the title mu'min. Why? Because he is a stain on the Muslim ummah. When people will see his behavior, his behavior will act as a stain for the Muslim ummah.
So what we need to do, my friends, is to reflect upon our lives. Reflect upon our lives. And make a firm resolution to change. If our Lord is merciful, if He says that my Rahmah overpowers my anger, if our Rasul is Rahmatul Lil Alamin, Rahmatul Lil Alamin. We all know what happened in Makkah Mukarramah, 13 years, Makkah Mukarramah, we all know. After migration, they did not give the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in peace. Badr, Uhud, Ahzab, many tribe nations, they did not leave any stone unturned to bring failure to the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After 21 years of persecution, in the year 8 after Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah Mukarramah and the Liberator, did he take revenge? Was that his behavior? He said, O people of Makkah Mukarramah, with what expectation do you stand in front of me today? He asked them, what is your expectation today? So they said, you are a very noble son of a very noble father. Abdullah was very noble. Your grandfather Abdul Muttalib was a very noble person. You are also a very noble person. You are a gracious son of a very gracious father. We are expecting nobility and graciousness from you. So he said, I will say to you today what Yusuf said to his brothers. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. No lament. I do not scold you today. I will not hold you by the throat. And not only do I forgive you, I say to Allah, يغفر الله لكم, may He also forgive you. This is what we find in the lives of the Sahaba. Because they understood the ideology of Islam. Rahman, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, and the teaching is full of Rahman. Full of Rahman. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if three of you are sitting in a particular place and you wish to say something private to one of these two, then do not take him on one side, leaving only one person behind, because it is natural for that person to feel some sort of pain, a pain of a very, very, very lesser degree. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not even tolerate that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, na'udhu billah, not sitting idle in Makkah Mukarramah thinking, what shall I do in these 23 years? So he was mentioning all these small details. No! He was a very busy person. He had to accomplish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 23 years. And in these 23 years, he mentioned everything to his ummah that they were going to need until the day of Qiyamah. Despite his busy schedule, these very, very small details he was giving. If three of you are sitting and you wish to speak to somebody regarding a matter which he should not be aware of, then do not do it, that why he is left behind alone. Because he may feel pain, he may feel that, is it something about me? You will cause an inconvenience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not tolerate that this will become inconvenience. If two people are sitting together for salah, for example, waiting for salah, then do not sleep in between the two of them. Because if they have to move from each other, it is possible that it may cause them pain. If this is the thesis of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much mercy should we show to each other? How much mercy should we show to each other? Everything that was to increase love within the community was encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everything that was to either increase hatred or initiate hatred within the community was made impermissible by the Prophet. Because rahmatul alamin. If Allah is so merciful, if He is merciful on the world, if our teachings, our being, our Sharia is full of mercy, then we should also be seen to be merciful. People will only appreciate our being, our religion, when they practically see Muslims merciful, 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 compassionate, gracious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa al-'aqibatu lil-muttaqin wa as-salatu was-salamu 'ala rasulihi sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana ghafirlana anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. يا مسرف القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الاخره. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمه امرنا، واصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، واصلح لنا اخرتنا التي اليها معادنا، واجعل الحياه زياده لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحه لنا من كل شر. اللهم ثبتنا على الايمان، وامتنا على الايمان، واحشرنا يوم القيامه مع المتقين مع الايمان. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، والف بين قلوبهم، واصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق، ووحد صفوفهم. اللهم انقذ اخواننا، اللهم انقذ اخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم. اللهم انكر لهم ولا تنكر عليهم. اللهم زدهم ولا تنقصهم، ولا تسلط عليهم من لا يرحمهم ولا يخافك فيهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الاقصى المبارك، واجعله اللهم امنه مطمئنه وسائر بلدان المؤمنين. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك، وتحول عافيتك، وفجاءة نقمتك، وجميع سخطك. اللهم انا نعوذ بك من جهل البلاء، ودرك الشقاء، وسوء القضاء، وشماتة الاعداء. اللهم اجعل خير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه، اللهم اجعل خير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه، اللهم اجعل خير ايامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا رب كل شيء، بقدرتك على كل شيء، واغفر لنا كل شيء، ولا تسألنا عن شيء. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي، ربنا وتقبل دعاء. ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اللهم انا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانت المستعان وعليك البلاء، ولا حول ولا قوة الا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولاساتذتنا ولاهلينا ولمشايخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن اوصانا بالدعاء، ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الاحياء منهم والاموات، انك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم، وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.